ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we started this series on what we call the kingdom finances. Three Sundays ago, Dr. Kolade started with us on kingdom finances. And then we look at the kingdom wealth. We look at the purpose last week. Kingdom wealth purpose. Today we look at kingdom wealth perspectives. I'm trusting that we'll be able to do this in record time today. So we are basically looking at what we call the prelude to kingdom abundance. What is a prelude? Just to remind us, is something that goes before something more important occurs. So something that precedes something else. So there is a level, something that precedes the greater level. That's a prelude. So, certain principles are in the Word of God which must guide the believer into the kingdom wealth. Last week, we emphasized the fact that God has an economy. The world system has an economy. In the world system, you have the capitalist economy. You have the socialist economy. These are things that people have developed in different nations, just to guide and guard the resources that they have. God, in his own infinite wisdom, also has a kingdom. And he has placed this kingdom in the heart of the believers. And alongside with the principle of this kingdom, he has empowered each person with gifts, with talent, with relationship, with skills, with abilities, that when we harness them, we bring out the kingdom from within us. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I can see some people relocating seats. I think the AC is much. So if they want to help us control the temperature, please do so, so that we can enjoy the service. If I'm in an air-conditioned room and you are preaching, I may not listen too. So I understand what it is. So God has an economy. He has an economy, and his economy works on principles. And I think last week, we emphasized the fact that to a large extent, the body of Christ has been misinformed. So largely what people think, when we talked about God's economy, what people think about is just money. But God's economy is much more than money. And I showed us four types of wealth last week. Who can remind us? There is financial wealth. And that's where we talked about money. But there is also social wealth. Our relationship, our influence, the status that we fashion us in the larger economy of God. There is also time wealth. It's been given to everyone in equal measure. And Paul was writing in Ephesians 5:16, he says, redeeming the time. So time is an asset given to us by God to be able to do things. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just man is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. So there is time worth 24 hours, given in equal dimension, but people use it differently. And how we use this word determine how we enjoy the abundance that God has provided for us. And of course, there is the physical wealth, which has to do with our wellness. A sound mind is ready for business. A sound mind is ready for promotion in career. That's why the mind that we have, the Bible says, is the mind of Christ. It's a productive mind. The believer must be the best among their equals. The believer must exercise their God nature. The believer must be skillful. The believer must not be lazy. The believer must not be given to procrastination. The believer must not be given to lay back kind of life or kind of living. The believer is the light of the world. The believer is the salt of the heart. Jesus made a pronunciation in John 9:5. He said, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world. So the believer is an extension of Christ. The believer has the responsibility to harness the resources of heaven while he is here, not just for his or our own benefit, but for the benefit of all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. So we looked at that last week, and today we look at the perspective. When it comes to kingdom wealth, there must be a kind of perspective that you and I must possess, must engage, so that we can prepare ourselves for the wealth that God has already instituted for us. So we start this morning by looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. And I want to believe that you have studied Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a very good place to understand the mind of God. I want to preach from Amplified Classics all through today. I need us to get a clearer understanding. He said, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency. Honor the Lord. What is your capital? In the world economics, they say land. Eh? What else again? Can you remind us? Labor. Capital itself. And then what? Eh? Yeah. So, four things. But he said, honor the Lord. So God has given us capital that we must put into productive use. He said, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labor. Can you see some trade? One can really prosper out of it. I don't have to mention it. Somebody can prosper by receiving ransom. Someone can prosper by taking advantage of other people. Someone can really prosper. You agree? 50-50, when money hits, you say no. The terms have changed. No. By righteous labor. And then with the first fruit of all your income. When we obey that principle, we say, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty. Not many people have storage places. You will agree with me. Where they really farm, where you have farmers. When a farmer is harvesting yam in the new yam season, he has about two times seed or seedlings that he can plant for the next planting season. Two planting seasons. That's when you know that a farmer is really, really prosperous. So he feeds his family, he feeds the community, and sometimes they export to other places. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. So one of the most difficult things, and I will say this at this point, in ministering, the body of Christ now to the believers, is getting people to understand this basic truth. That God wants them to prosper. It's a very difficult task for us who are ministers. And it's largely what you see is because When you look at generally our environment, the way economies are run, even in, for us, with us in Nigeria, they say a lot of how many percentage live below the poverty line. So when something is prevalent, it is very difficult to introduce new thoughts. So one of the things that we found out is to convince the believer that God wants them to prosper. And it's not a new thing. Even with Israel, you can see that Israel was used to slavery 430 years. And so it was very difficult for them to see something different from what they've been used to. And so God had to send someone to them. He had to give them promises in his word. He said, oh, this land that I am taking you to is not a land that you are used to, where scarcity was the order of the day. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that, I mean, you can have rain from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So you read Deuteronomy 8, Deuteronomy 9, Deuteronomy 11. It gives a description of that land. It's a land where you will eat bread without scarceness. It's a land where you will be plenteous. So it was very, very difficult for slaves who are used to eating garlic to now be eating honey. So it's very, still very difficult today to convince the believers that God wants us to increase. God wants us to be wealthy. And over the time, I think the body of Christ also, in the bid to preach contentment with godliness, we have swung to the other extreme. I will say to you, because I know this so well. So when an aid, for example, an aid leaves America, maybe per person, per unit, $60, by the time he's getting to Congo Kinshasa, it's about 60 pence. Because there are people in that layers who have taken their commission out of it. So it means that for us to have something productive done here, $60 from your hand to $60 to the recipient, the church must live in God's economy. Can I have an amen this morning? That's the only way. That's the only way. The church must understand that God wants us to prosper and do well in life. Many have entered into this dimension, no doubt. But majority of us, believers, we still lack the understanding. Getting many believers to honor, to obey God and his word is still a great task. And I believe that's one of the reasons God is bringing us through this teaching. And I want you to please open your heart. It's not about getting another dollar or getting another naira. It's about understanding the perspective of God when he brings substances into our hands, and the perspective of God when he has to do with his own kind of wealth. I know that you know without God, people can prosper. And I know you know that. In fact, you don't even have to do something devilish. Just be good at your career. And if you can understand the principle of saving, how to multiply money, you will indeed prosper. But there will still be a limit somewhat. Because some people, when they die with all those things, some people have not been able to ensure continuity. But with God, God wants us to have generational wealth mindset. That even while we are not here, whatever it is, which we call legacy, still growing, blessing generation. Praise the Lord this morning. So in 2 Corinthians, this is convincing people to understand the mind of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Can we look at it together this morning? It says, for you are becoming progressively, and that's where we are. Every believer must move from not enough to just enough, and then to more than enough. So he said, you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to kingdom wealth, the grace of the Lord Jesus is a very strong value that every believer must embrace. Paul writing later in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So, clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor, and spiritual blessing. Can I have an amen from every business person in this room? You need God's kindness to run. You need his gracious generosity. You need his undeserved favor. You need his spiritual blessing. In that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor. So from one extreme to another extreme, in order that through his poverty or by his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. That is number one set perspective for kingdom wealth. And if you flip to 2 Corinthians 9, it now talks about something. 9:8, 8 to 10. He said, God is able to make this same grace, that is, every favor and outlet blessing. In that career of yours, God is able to make grace available to you. In that business, God is able to make all grace. In that partnership endeavor, God is able. That grace was what was with Joseph in Genesis 39:2. Even as an employee, the Bible says the Lord caused the house of Potiphar to prosper because he was with Joseph. So God is able to make all grace, every favor, every earthly blessing come to us in abundance, so that we may, and under all circumstances, whether dollar is 900, under all circumstances, we are locked in that economy where grace is available, where we can leverage on that grace, where we can receive every favor and earthly blessing, where the land yield increase unto us in abundance. He says, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. In the world economy, when there is scarcity, people conserve resources. But in God's economy, he said, when there is scarcity, he said, you will have more than enough, requiring no aid, no support, not even only that, having more than enough that you may still be doing good and charitable donations. It's a mindset. You know, it's different from the world's mindset. And verse 9 and 10, it says, as it is written, he, the benevolent person, who is locked into God's economy, scatters abroad. He says, he gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. Verse 10. And God, who provides seeds for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruit of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. That's the perspective of God. And that is the perspective, mindset we must embrace. To understand kingdom wealth, we need to embrace these two mindsets from those two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 9:8 and 10. You know, I believe the reason why money is a major thing that we talk about is in this kingdom word is because money is the general acceptable medium of exchange. We even denominate the economy in terms of currency. So money answers where it matters. That's the point. So we need to pay bills, money answers. We may say money is not everything, but it answers where it should answer. We need to pay for health bills, money answers. House rent, office rent, money answers. School fees, money answers. Build goodly houses, money answers. Buy things that will help us do the things that we do, money answers. So, Ecclesiastes 10:19, that even for parties, he said, money will help you make feast. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. So, every believer should understand this. That's the perspective of God. And when we understand it and embrace it into our world, we move from the realm of not enough to just enough, and then to more than enough with God. Please never forget this morning, we are God's conduits in this world. We are. Matthew chapter 6, let's read verses 24 to 33. Say, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or we stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. So we are devoted to God. Say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon simply means deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever people trust in. Verse 25, he said, therefore I tell you, this is Jesus. So there is mammon, there is God. But he said, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellence than clothing? So what the Bible, please go back to 25. What the Bible is simply encouraging is that in the world economy, there is anxiety. There is worry. And that anxiety has brought desperation upon humanity. That's why people take advantage. People do whatever. People steal. People rob. People take advantage of the system because of what to eat, what to drink. What about body? And he's saying to us, believer must not run with that mindset. Believer must understand that the kingdom is in us. Believer must understand that everything we need to prosper in this world is right there in us. Number 26. Let's read on. We're going to verse 3. When I say number 26, I mean verse 26. He said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not much more than they? And who of you by worrying or by being anxious can add one unit of measure cubit to his stature? I'm not sure what I am. Maybe 6'3", 6'4". If I start worrying now, I'm not sure by the time you come back next Sunday, I will be 7 feet. I'm not sure. That's what the Bible is saying. So sometimes the things we worry about, most of the times for us, are things that will never come to pass. I remember when we were very young, and because the way our ceilings in our houses then were, so sometimes maybe insects, whatever, have crawled into the roof. So you start hearing sound during the night. You think that something is going to drop from that ceiling to attack you. They never did, and they will never did. You just kept awake all through the night, expecting that thing to come. Your mind runs where? Is it snake that will come? Is it cockroach that will come? Is it everything? They will never come. Sometimes, when people hear just little sound, they are awake for the rest of the night. No. Don't be anxious. By being anxious, we never resolve it. I've said it severally. Worry, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It keeps you moving, but it gets you nowhere. And with us who are believers, you will agree with me, most of the things that you are worrying and anxious about, invariably, you are able to resolve them. But if care is not taken, your tummy that was churning at that time will probably have developed ulcerated stomach. And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Not here, but I used to hear church members, not here, who says, why were you not in church last week? Say, I have nothing to wear. I've been around church in the last 29, 30 years, so you hear all sorts of things. Say, it's because I don't have something. Say, but you have something to wear. Say, yes, but I wore it the other week. Doesn't matter. He didn't say by their clothes they will know them. He didn't say by their appearance that's how they will be accepted by God. Thank you. So, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. And that's the reason why we must not be worrisome. No matter how you dress, whether Gucci or not Gucci, you are not as beautiful as the lily in the valleys. That's the simple thing. Because God is the end of beauty and perfection. So God can take good care of you. That's what I'm saying this morning. And it's a perspective. Because that perspective will settle us in our journey into kingdom abundance. You will not be desperate about anything. Some people, it's just one deal and they miss it. No, don't be desperate. Don't be desperate. I'm looking at someone now. There was a time somebody played him out of business. And he mentioned it to me. And he needed the money at that time. And I said, forget the money. Where he is today cannot be compared to where he was about 4 or 5 years ago when that incident happened. I said, can you forget the money? He said, well, truly I need the money. Well, whatever you say, I said, the world works. God is able to restore. And where he is today cannot be compared when that incident happened. I'm sure that from the look, he can do 5-10 times the amount of money that he left 5 years ago. Let's not be anxious. God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow we can't find it. How much more will you not clothe? So when we are anxious, when we are worried, it suggests that we are of a little faith. That's what it is. There's no other way to say it. When you are anxious, whenever you find yourself anxious, worried about things, and most of the things we are anxious about, worried about, are things we don't have control over. So whenever we are found in that realm as believers, it means we are of a little faith. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, wealth in God's kingdom covers its dimensions, which we must also learn. Number one, providence. Providence. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. Number two, justice. Justice. When God gives us things, he wants us to be able to do well with it. Not just to ourselves, but help other people. There are many people who don't have access to this knowledge. But we are having it, and we probably have more of it, and then we use it. And it blesses us. God also expects us to use it to bless other people. Justice. That's the perspective of God. God doesn't want us to have anything and use it to oppress people. So many years ago, on Allen, I saw a man. During the traffic, I don't know whether someone brought his car, so he caught up with the man, pulled him out of his car, pulled out a gun. I said, I saw a man. I didn't say I saw an officer. I said, I saw a man. Pull out a gun, put it there, and then drag the man, open his boot, and you can know who does that. And of course, everybody hold on the gun, so everybody was looking. Why? The man had access to power, authority. And he misused it right before everybody. He drove the man, I don't know where he took him to, but he drove him away. But hey, justice. We don't have things to oppress people. Can I say something this morning? It just occurred to me. Please, if you have house help, can you make a plan? If you don't have a plan for them, can you make a plan by asking them what they want to be? I don't think that boy or girl should be house help forever. That's not their destiny. For the believer, we should make a difference. You can send your house help to school if he or she desire to go to school. Up to university level, you can. The older generation, our parents, for most of them, many people pass through their homes. They were not rich. They don't have extra, but they send some of those people to school. And some of those people became people, responsible citizens in the society. Some of our parents, they took a job loan to send other people's children to school just because they were around them. And they never did go down. In the midst of NOLA, they built houses. So we need to understand how this principle works. If you stay with God, there is God kind of increase. And I have an amen this morning. So justice is another thing. Number three, generosity. It's a perspective of God. God is generous. We know what John 3:16 says. That's the greatest gift of all. And John 3:16 says, he loved the world he gave. Romans 8:32 also confirmed that if he did not withhold his son, but gave him all for us all, how much more shall he not through him freely give us all things? Freely give us. So generosity is the nature of God. You can't be in fellowship with God and you are not generous. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, He who scatters, 11:24-25, please. Let me put it in perspective. Said there are those who generously scatter abroad. Abroad means beyond their own needs. And yet increase more and more. Yes, increase more. But there are those who withhold more than it is fitting or necessary. What is justly due, but it results only in want. Because money never really satisfies, really. And I've never met somebody who said that they have more than enough. I mean, business people in the world, with all the people who grace the family, they're still taking loan every day. Libra people shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. So, justice, generosity, another one is contentment. 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 My time is gone, but maybe next week we go through that scripture. It said, we brought nothing, 1 Timothy 6. We brought nothing into this world. And it is sure that when we are all living, we will take nothing. We will take nothing. We will take nothing. So, please understand, contentment is God's perspective towards wealth. Towards wealth. Towards wealth. The next one is humility. 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 I just mentioned the example of the officer. No, you have access. Not every Nigerian citizen. Because in other places, maybe if somebody pull a gun, another person can pull theirs. Except you are fully dressed. It's called self-defense. But here, it's already divided that the people who are permitted to hold arms are people who are licensed to hold it. Not everyone is licensed to hold arms. So that gives somebody an upper edge. And the person must be humble enough. As a matter of fact, if he pulls that trigger, he's going to be charged by the authority because he lacks self-control. Praise God. Psalm 49 verse 20. Man that is in honor and understand not is like the beast of the field that perishes. So humility. And then number six, gratitude. 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 It's very important. On that business deal, you made 100,000. Be grateful. When you make 500, be grateful. Don't say, oh, what kind of business is this? I've projected 800 and I'm just making, or I projected 50 million. I just made 25 million. What kind of business? Mm-mm. Gratitude. God is a gradualist. If you are faithful in little things, Luke 16 says, much will be committed. Luke 16 verses 10 to 12. Can we quickly read that? Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. I'm saying all of this as we begin to appropriate our skill, as God begins to bring increase. He said, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. Verse 11, therefore, if you have been faithful in the case of a righteous mammon, that is deceitful riches, money and possession, who will entrust to you the true riches? So, gratitude must be from our heart. And if you have not been proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether God or man, who will give you that which is your own? That is the true riches. Gratitude. 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 What are the things that you and I must do to honor God? Where we read this morning in Proverbs 3:9, it said, honor the Lord. What are the things we must do to honor God? Number one, take our fear and anxiety to God. He can handle it. God knows your needs. Even the one that you have in office tomorrow, you already know. Take your fear. It's a discipline that we must all... If you really, really want to enjoy this kingdom, take your fear and anxiety to God. Each person here has theirs. But God can handle it. 1 Peter 5:7 say, cast all your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concern, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. My slogan over the years, God will never mismanage my life. It is. It is. I believe it with all my heart. I say it to myself all the time. In challenges, in abundance, in scarcity, in fullness, God will never mismanage my life. I am a stock in God's hand. I am a productive life. He has graced me with skill, with talent, with ability. That's my confession. So in the midst of society, in the midst of going through challenges, I say like David, he has helped me overcome that. And you know, gratitude will bring things into your remembrance. Casting. Learn. Everyone must learn to eat. A lot of the time as human beings, we are blindfolded by the need of the hour. But we must learn to take our fear and anxiety. Secondly, trust God with your resources. Trust him. Trust God with your resources. And what do you have? Your skill, your talent, your ability, even the money that he has helped you to make. Trust him. He holds it anyway. He holds it. But we are tempted to think that we hold all. I was joking with my nephew I was telling you this story. That sometimes that's the way we behave as adults with God. So I have a packet of biscuit. So I gave it to her. And just as I was giving it to her, I said, share with me. I said, no, it's my own. And that's how we behave. Not knowing that I may have packets of that same brand of biscuits. That's why we teach kids, love is in sharing. Love is in sharing. Praise God. And I think we need to teach adults that way. Trust God with your life. Trust God with your resources. That's how to honor Him. Number three, recognize your dependence on God. The strength that we have to walk, the strength that we have to make a living, recognize it. It's God. It's God who gives us the ability, Deuteronomy 8:18, ability to get well. I don't know any of us, when we are sick, we can't even think about work. We can't think about deadline because something is not well with our body. But when we are healthy, then we can think strategically. We can operate strategically. We can embrace hard work. So, recognize your dependence. And I love what the Bible says somewhere. It said, no one can receive anything except it's given to him from above. In another place, it said, if you are giving from above, why are you behaving that you are not giving from above? So, recognize your dependence on God. Fourthly, practice commitment. Commitment to God in both good and bad times. Practice it. It's a practice. Can we quickly look at 1 Timothy 6? Let's pick it from verse 9 or 10. It said, but those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, who claim to be rich outside of God's way, into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. It didn't say richness is not good. So he said, but those who crave it, and this is what they crave. For the love of money is a root of all evils. I mean, in this same country, some months back, a guy went to visit, apparently, I think he has concluded with his herbalist or whatever, and he wants to use his own biological mom for whatever ritual. And I love it when PG says this. In my work, at least now, the 1,000 list of Forbes. I've never seen an herbalist make that list. There is no herbalist on the Forbes list. So why will people, and that's what he say, the love of it. So he arranged, he traveled to the village, the closest village to where his mom was, and asked, requested that he's lodging in a particular hotel, and he's requested that his mom should come visit him. And the mother, out of the genuinity of her heart, took fruits and everything. And then, as soon as he opened the door, rushed the woman, not knowing that the woman still have power, they rushed themselves and all that, shield themselves from the balcony to the ground floor. And that was how the woman, of course, people gathered around, and they realized that she wanted to use her own mom, make ritual. There's another story of somebody who colluded with his mom to use her own junior sister for ritual. These things are there. Said, it is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith. So believers now, they probably are joining Ogboni because that's the, or Illuminati as the, it were. That's the way they get their network and net worth and all that. Brotherhood is promoted. So some people have even wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. How do I know that? I sit in a place where people talk and people have done things ignorantly and they want deliverance. There are things that are taunting them because those things are done with the incision and the release of blood. Verse 11, what does he say? But as for you, As for you, as for me, we are men and women of God. He said, flee from all these things. Aim at and pursue righteousness that is right standing with God and true godliness, goodness. He said, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like. Faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentleness of heart. If you have these virtues in business, your business will grow. If you have these virtues in your career path, promotion is unending. Verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned, for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. I say it again. If the devil gives money, he will take it back. Even if you barricade your territory, he has a long fork. I'm still young, but I've never seen people do charm for money who did not end up being poor, wretched. These days, there is so much desperation. Whether it is Kenya or Zambia, people are selling their kidney. All these things, I don't think it's a kingdom way. We can't embrace it. And you hear believers say this thing. It doesn't matter how you get it, just get it. It matters. It matters. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. But we brought nothing into the world. Hard work will bring increase into your life. It will bring increase into my life. And we need to understand it. It's the kingdom perspective. Jeremiah 17, as we close. Jeremiah 17. Verse what now? I think it's the earlier verses. Can we pick 5? Just dropped in my heart, and I think we need to read it. Okay, so. Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. This scripture came to me so many years ago when someone shared this story with me. She was desperate to get married. And so she went to the bar beach. They took her to the bar beach. And they bathed her. And they locked. A padlock was used in whatever prayer session. And they threw the padlock into the Atlantic Ocean. And 2 weeks after, the herbalist died. Or rather, the prophet. Well, I call them herbalists, really. The prophet died. No. And she was very afraid that she wasn't going to get. She's married today with 2 kids. Thank God for the mercy of God. But how many people are in the world like that? Because even the boy that they locked with that padlock, they didn't end up getting married to each other. No. Your heart must be on the Lord. Verse 6. For it shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert. And he shall not see any good come. In other words, someone whose heart departs from the Lord, opportunities will elude such a person. Said he shall not see any good come, but he shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. So nothing grows with salt land. But most blessed is the man. And you see the quality, the perspective? Who believes in, who trusts in, who relies, and then whose hope and confidence the Lord is. Verse 8. You can still give me verse 8. For it shall be the same thing that someone said. It shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. And it shall not see or fear when heat comes. But its leaves shall be green. It shall not be anxious. Can you see it? So, for us as believers, the Bible does not want us to be anxious. It doesn't want us to fret. It doesn't want us to be fearful. He said, it shall not be anxious, and then full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. Brothers, sisters, great things are coming to our continent. Great things are coming to people of our color. And God is looking for just one man, one woman, who is ready for him. The atmosphere over our continent has changed. And the Bible says, when the clouds are filled, they empty themselves of rain. And I believe that as the Lord opens our eyes to these things, let's be prepared. All that is needed in this season is capacity. Capacity in terms of character building to be able to sustain what is to come. It's not for show. It's to do the will of God in our own continent. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for every one of us. We are your candidates and we are ready for the things you want to do, not just in our nation, but in our continent. Thank you for inventions. Thank you for innovations. Thank you for creativity. Thank you, Lord, for new things that you are doing in our continent. And thank you for making us your people in the lighthouse orbs to the nations of the world. We bless you, we honor you, because we know by your word, you said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man the things you have prepared for us, because we love you. So Lord, thank you for everyone, those in the diasporas, those who are home. Thank you for the things that you are opening our eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to comprehend. And thank you because as we walk with you, we know that there will be a season of consummation. And we thank you for the new things that you are doing. We bless you, we honor you. Thank you for the ambassadors that you are sending to the nations from this house. Thank you for those of us who are here at home. Thank you for the things you will strengthen our hands to do. Lord, out of the challenges of our nation, we can see the light at the end of this tunnel. So thank you for a new Nigeria, filled with grace, filled with power, filled with productivity, filled with increase. Thank you because nations will come to the brightness of our rising. We bless you, we honor you.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,